Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Southern California, the rest of the United States, the world, on this bright and sunny Saturday in my soul. No, cloudy and dark outside. We're going to get rain this weekend. I'm watching a hummingbird peck away at my orange tree right now. This is my favorite day of the week. I get to be creative with you. Hopefully I talk to your soul and a little bit to your brain, but mostly to your soul. Because if you're sick and tired of being sick, if you're symptomatic, if you've suffered with chronic disease, if you want to be radiantly healthy, you've got to learn to navigate through the labyrinth of medicine. To navigate so you don't make boo-boos. Boo-boos are costly. And today's show focuses on the fact that science, what we call science, what we call medicine, what we call allopathic medicine, what you, John Q. Public, trust is the reality of health, is filled with boo-boos, mistakes, delusions. If it was 1950 and I was doing this show, if it was 1960 and I was doing this show, that's what, 56 years ago, and I was doing this show, I couldn't get on the air and tell you that smoking causes lung cancer without lots of people, highly credentialed scientists, saying that's nonsense. There's nothing in the data to really support that statement. Now, bear with me. I'm going somewhere with this. If it was 1980, I couldn't get on the air and tell you that coconut oil doesn't cause heart disease. I couldn't say that without alarming everybody. Surely I'd be out of my mind if it was 1980 and I told you that coconut oil doesn't cause plaque. You see, if you study the history of science, you see in the history of medicine, you observe it to be filled with big boo-boos. And they're usually about credentialed people in trusted institutions not using their common sense. And if you want to be ahead of the curve, you've got to learn to navigate in between the lines there. You've got to learn to get a sense of when the information you're being told is just something that's going to be, well, the mistake they made that they'll never, ever, ever forget. Should you be on statin drugs? Should you be doing chemotherapy? Should you be getting hysterectomies when you're bleeding out during menopause? Should you get your gallbladder cut out? If you have thyroid nodules, if you have autoimmune disease, should you be on steroids? There's so many examples today of how the public gets told one thing that really I can see. And this is the purpose of the show, that I want you to see are going to be part of the boo-boo list. Like when you were told in 1950 that smoking doesn't make you sick. Ladies on the birth control pill today, there's tons of you on the birth control pill. And you're told it doesn't make you sick. You're told that if we stop your period, it's okay. We're told that if you use copper IUDs, we're told if you get titanium implants. We're told that if you get hysterectomies after menopause, it's just okay. No dangerous side effects from cutting out the gallbladder. And yet, every one of the things I just mentioned, there are always fringe scientists who are always behind the naturalists, But there are always fringe scientists long before Kaiser Permanente will make it part of their standard of care. There are always fringe scientists that are going to tell you that the research is suggesting that smoking causes cancer, that coconut oil doesn't cause plaque, that the birth control is very dangerous, that hysterectomies are a hoax, that there are very dangerous side effects from cutting out the gallbladder or the thyroid gland or getting joint replacement, and that your glandular disease has a great influence and relationship with your autonomic imbalance. There are always scientists on the fringe. I'm one of them. Now, I want you to go to the top of the page today, and you'll get the purpose of my rant here. Go to the top of the page. Again, if you're not familiar, straighttalk.cc, that's with two T's, not .com.cc, straighttalk.cc. And once again, look at another article that just came out where scientists on the fringe are spouting stuff that someday will be the standard of care, that's ahead of its time, and that we in the naturalistic, or as naturalists, have been saying for hundreds of years. It's another great example what you're about to view here, this article, of how you're being deluded by the nonsense you hear from the allopathic community about why you have Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, senility, all of the dementias and various neurological dementias that are becoming mainstream. Go to the top of the page there at straighttalk.cc. Click to view the full article on the brain's garbage system. The brain's garbage system. Now open up that There you go. Scientific American. The brain's garbage disposal. Front picture, of course, is a skull. Mystery human. Enigmatic bones found in South Africa are stirring a debate about our origins. You bet. You just watch the chronology change over the next 50 years. What we think we knew is not what we're going to know. Now go to page one, all right? Look at those names there. So you're on page two, not the cover page, the second page. This is out of Copenhagen. Steven Goldman, a professor of neuroscience. Macon, I don't want to mispronounce her name. We'll call her Macon. Neuroscientists. The human brain weighs about 3 pounds. First paragraph, to survive. The brain must have some way of flushing out debris. Go to the last sentence in that paragraph. And why is it that evolution did not seem, that's that first paragraph there, and why is it that evolution did not seem to have made brains adept at delivering wastes to other organs in the body that are more specialized for removing debris? The liver, after all, is a powerhouse for disposing or recycling waste products. So that's the first paragraph there in this article, Scientific American, entitled The Brain's Garbage Disposal. And in the last two sentences, it's saying, why is it that evolution didn't make the brain very good at removing its wastes? And then it goes on to say, and couldn't it be that if those wastes build up, you're much more likely to neurodegenerate? Now, by the time you get through this article, and of course, we're not going to get through this article today, you can do this on your own. But the point is that after you get through this article, you're going to see them laying down something that's right on the tip of our nose. And once again, something as critical, as important, as vital to society, as sustaining your memory, your cognitive ability, past the age of 60, past the age of 70, not to end up senile and rotting and toothless in a chair at an old age home while half your family is in different parts of the world, because that's the way it is today, and just bleep in your son or your daughter or your grandson on a Skype, and that's as much contact as you're going to get. And listen, I'm just giving it to you straight because I don't know who you talk to, but the people I talk to over the age of 70 will tell you, I'll take death, no problem, but I don't want to sit there like a corpse because that's a hell I don't ever want to know. So this is very important. This discussion today is really important. And yet you are being absolutely deluded, defrauded. You are being sensationalized, propagandized into thinking that you're getting the true insight. Well, please listen up today. And I'm going to linchpin my argument today of clinical experience. I'm going to linchpin my statements today off the reality of this article, which they're calling cutting edge. And this article is going to go on to say that there is a drainage system in the brain that's more developed than we ever thought, that's more evolved than we ever knew. And of course, the point is, if it's that new to Western science that the brain has a detoxification system, then it's almost hopeless that at this point we would understand how to facilitate that drainage system. Of course, that's where this article is going to go, right? Isn't that the way it works? I want you to kick back and follow the argument here. Both these scientists need to make a living. So let's get into the reality of science. I will guarantee you that the guy that owns the car wash I use takes home more for his family every year than these two scientists are ever going to see. Now, I'm going to scream that because that matters. That statement really matters. You're dealing with two scientists here who went to college, studied to exhaustion, took their master's degrees, took their doctorates, took their postdoctoral residencies. Maybe Steve Goldman doesn't want to live in Copenhagen. You see? Maybe that's where he could get a job. And you got to understand about scientists, they don't make money. They don't. Especially research scientists. You patent a drug, maybe you'll make a little dough. But really, once you work for pharmaceutical, anything you patent, you can't patent. The company owns you. And that is the reality. I have friends. I have relatives. I am close enough in with the scientific community to tell you that the articles that you read that are cutting edge are written by scientists who really struggle to make a living. And that is the truth. Now, when you write an article like this, so we're going to set you up here, the research you do has to end up pointing in the direction of, well, of course, now that we understand what we didn't understand, now we got to get to the drugs to regulate the physiology once we understand the mechanism. So now let's put that together. You have scientists who study hard and want to make a good living, a great living like everyone else, except it's tough for them. That's tough for everybody, but you got to understand, relative to the amount that those people put in, a lot of them really get the shaft. It's not like medicine or dentistry or law. The PhDs really get hurt financially, disproportionate to the rest of society. They get funding from the National Institute of Health or whoever they get it from. When they write an article getting into a mechanism, a cutting-edge mechanism, something that we didn't ever know that we know now because studies show, it always has to go in one direction. At the conclusion, it's got to be, if we could just synthesize a drug now to facilitate this mechanism that we just discovered. What I do, what you should do, is poach, meaning out of science and research comes confirmations, validations, verifications of everything holistic medicine has been saying for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And once you really understand the mechanism, well, then you can understand the deeper concepts of natural medicine. I don't have an herb to talk to you about today for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. I have a paradigm to give you. If you have the intelligence, if you have the depth of character, if you have the patience, if you have the right perspective, if you have the wisdom, then listen hard. Because if you can get this, you can do much. I love to use science, though, to stand on. So let's continue. And why is it that evolution did not seem to have made brains adept at delivering waste to other organs in the body that are more specialized for removing debris? The liver, after all, does this. About 5 years ago, we began trying to clarify how the brain eliminates proteins and other wastes. Now, if you continue down that page, okay. So about 5 years ago, that paragraph, then the next paragraph. In fact, the pathology of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and other neurodegenerative diseases of aging can be reproduced in animal models by forced overproduction of these protein aggregates. You got to follow here. What they're saying is they can create Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. They can create senility anytime they want in anything they want, including humans, but of course they wouldn't. We know how to destroy brain cells. And we know what destroys brain cells. What this article is going to conclude is that the brain has a drainage system, and that drainage system is potentially malleable. It's influenceable. It's variable. It's affectable. It's negotiable. And if you negotiate with the drainage system of the brain, you just might be able to rebuild it. Now that's big. It's really big. Much of the information, take Perlmutter's Grain Brain. All this about the good fats, right? This is the Medici Show, so we're not on here touting the virtues of some new oil like krill. We're not here touting some new brain formula to improve your cognitive, some outrageously powerful form of ginkgo that's going to save the day. Get that off YouTube. And then flip a coin and pick your product. Not going to do that one. This is about understanding that we, as of now, really do not take the time to educate and understand how you can facilitate the drainage system of the brain. And why? Because we've barely identified it. This article is a new article. It just came out. It, in fact, represents the future. The implication being past notions about how the head sits on top of the cervical spine and all the things to do to create what we call flow and drainage are up till now not really authenticated. It's mostly hocus pocus, largely nonsense. Why do I say it? Because 99 out of 100 Americans who present each year to clinics all over the world, neurologists and neuroanatomists and the whole slew, are told, other than a few drugs, there's not a lot we can do. So by and large, what this article is suggesting, that there's a drainage system that can be potentially facilitated, isn't really being recognized. Important. All right, so we can create, we can produce Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and senility. Now, want you to go to the top of the next column over. So same page, just go to the next paragraph on the other side at the top. In our research, so same page, just across the column at the top. In our research, we found an undiscovered system for clearing proteins and other wastes from the brain and learned that this system is most active during sleep. Look at that. Now look at that. You look at that. Sleeping 4 hours a night. Sleeping only 5 hours. Getting up 2 or 3 times to urinate. Look at that. Coming off 5, 10, 15, 20 years of disturbed sleep, interrupted sleep, spending all that money on therapy. The amount of money you'll spend those last 2, 3, 4 years in an old age home, sitting in a wheelchair, staring at a wall. And on your way down, going to your neurologists, your cognitive psychologists, looking for solutions, listening to radio shows, stuffing herbs down your throat. And look at that now. You're being told that the drainage system of the brain is most active during sleep. That means 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 straight deep hours of sleep. I know what happens when people listen to this show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just tell me something I don't know. See, that's the trap. If you think that way, you're trapped. Because you think you know. I assure you, when it hits the fan, you don't know. And the reason I say that is if you observe people, when all of a sudden they can't find their keys. If you observe people when they start to get the early signs of dementia, if you have early signs of dementia, it is reversible. But if you think you're going to do it, whether it's allopathy or if you think you're going to do it by stuffing some herbs down your throat, you're mistaken. You have to look deeper. And I am not saying nutrition's not part of it. I am saying there is a myopia prevalent in our society that says if you're smart enough not to just sit and do nothing, but to make sure you take your daily supplement. The myopia is that supplement ensures you a reversible future. And I'm telling you, it doesn't. It can get you to first base, but it will not deliver the onslaught. Once you're in dementia, and I mean early dementia, there is enough damage to the systems that clear the brain so that the supplements you ingest cannot cut it. You need to do more by understanding more. And the first thing is this. Sleep. There it is. There it is, sleep. It's right there on the tip of our nose. You're in early signs of dementia. What's your sleep like? Take care of your sleep. Don't get lost in the hoopla. So there's number one. Something that they have termed now the glymphatic system. Big words for lymphatic system of the brain. It's all it is. The lymph of the brain. The lymph does not have, classically speaking, a lymph, the brain, classically speaking, does not have a lymphatic system. Our lymphatic system, as my listeners know, is the drainage system in between the cells of the organs. The brain does not have a lymphatic system. This article terms the clearance system of the brain a lymphatic system, glymphatic system, which is effectively the same thing. Its structure is just different. But where we're going to go with this is the punchline. So, the brain hasn't really evolved to drain itself well. Wrong. Studies show that we can induce bad diseases by destroying brain cells. And now the research shows that there is a detox system, a garbage system in the brain that works best when you sleep. Bingo. We call that drainage system the glymphatic system, reminiscent of the lymphatic system that the brain formerly thought doesn't have. Now, that's where we're at now. Let's keep going. The glymphatic system, in most regions of the body, a network of intricate fluids known as the lymphatic system eliminates protein waste from tissues. Read that on your own. Okay. Go down to the next page, clearing the head. So I just left that page. I left page 46. I'm on the top of the third page now. Clearing the head, an intricate system of vessels, the glymphatic system snakes through the brain, carrying fluid that rids the organ of discarded proteins. Correct. Now here it is. Here's the punchline. Incoming fluid. So I want you to go down. The cover page is 1, page 2, page 3. Top of page 3, it says clearing the head. Go down a little bit lower and go to cerebral spinal fluid. And here is the punchline. The punchline is they're telling us now that the cerebral spinal fluid has a whole new meaning. This thing about the cerebral spinal fluid, the milk of the brain, goes back to Egyptian times. It goes back to pre-Egyptian times. Understanding that there's a flow through the cranium of the skull goes back thousands of years. And what they're understanding now is this flow between the cerebral spinal fluid and the glymphatic system, meaning the drainage port of the brain. This connection between the two is how the brain clears itself. The next step is to understand that the flow of cerebral spinal fluid through the brain is variable from person to person. It is variable from person to person. The whole essence of cranial osteopathy was an inquiry and a solution to the reality that the cerebral spinal fluid flows in a variable way, person to person. If you've had head trauma, if you clench your jaw, if you have anterior head carriage, if you've lived biochemically imbalanced, high insulin, high blood sugar, insulin resistance, high blood sugar, you alter that flow significantly. The cerebral spinal fluid flows in between the neurons of the brain. If you throw fibrin into those spaces between the brain, you drastically alter the flow of cerebral spinal fluid and you shut down the glymphatic system. That the flow of the CSF through the brain is variable and that you can reverse it is evidenced in natural medicine, if you really do natural medicine. Now, this article, which will become the future of medicine, either moves in the direction of what drug can we make to capitalize on this insight? What drug can we make to capitalize on this insight? And the reason you need to understand this is these doctors, these scientists don't get paid. They do not get the money to study this unless at the end of the article it points to the possibility of a drug being made. And that is the way it works. You have to understand that. So you know how to critically study medicine, you, the consumer. That's why you want to read, and that's why you want to study, so that you can read between the lines and take and absorb what's useful from these enlightenments. And then when they say, well, the solution here is to make a drug, you can pull it the other direction. In other words, you can say, thank you for the information. The solution for me then is to understand it and facilitate it according to the divine plan. That is the essence. That is how you use science to heal. That's the true value of science. There's only one medicine. There aren't two medicines. There's only one medicine. It's called good medicine. And sometimes good medicine means take a drug. Sometimes good medicine means get a surgery. And sometimes good medicine means study the fundamental axioms of mechanism and then facilitate it with natural means. Now, I don't think that's too deep for us to understand. And it allows and it gives something for everybody. It gives something to the surgeon. It gives something, okay, to the pharmaceutical companies. And it gives something to the naturalists. It's just a matter of what's appropriate. But you can't determine that if you don't have perspective. And that's what the show is about, perspective. It's not about herbs. It's not about holistic medicine. It's not about pharmaceutical medicine. It's not about surgery. It's about doing what works. It's about choosing judiciously. It's about using your education to know how to integrate into things. Because everybody's made a contribution. Pharmaceutical chemists have made a contribution. They have. They save lives. Their drugs save lives. It is the way it works. Antibiotics have saved lives. Unless they're overused, and then they cost lives. The chronic use of antibiotics are dangerous. But when you're rushed to ER with some massive necrotizing flesh-eating animal, and you're about to lose half your brain or your face, and they pump you IV with some form of antibiotic, don't go to an herbalist. And be glad we've made drugs. When your head goes through the windshield of a car and you're splattered all over the street, don't go to your local physical therapist or your acupuncturist. Go to the best surgeon you can find. And so on and so forth, and you get the point. The question is, and the purpose of the show, of course, especially if you're new, is to teach you how to integrate into the system intelligently. And that, in all fairness to the goodwill of mankind, allows something in it for everybody. Everybody's got their place. Everybody's got their contribution. And we've got to get together on this. So, the cerebral spinal fluid goes in, the lymphatic system goes out, and that's how the brain downloads its garbage. The question becomes, so let's get off this article now and just go to the pictures. What is it within the brain's garbage system, that we can facilitate? Some of you have heard a little bit of the show in the past. Some of you have heard me talk. Some of you have seen these pictures before. Look at them again. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. StraightTalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's. Picture number 12. Get to picture number 12. That's the back of your fat head, or my fat head. I have a fat head. That's the back of it. It's the back of yours. It's the back of anybody's bigger than a mouse. That head is loaded with muscles, layers of white, sticky connective tissue called fascia. That's the end of that page. Go to another picture. Now, go to picture four. Go to picture four and compare it to picture 12. You don't have to blow it up. Look at picture 12, now look at picture 4. Look at picture 12, now look at picture 4. Picture 4 is the back of that fat head scarved down. It's carved down to its deepest muscular layer. You're not going to improve your symptomology with dementia. You're not going to cure your dementia. You're not going to reverse your dementia. You're not going to improve your cognitive function until you can pull those muscles apart. You've got to get to those muscles. You've got to layer down. It takes time. It's an evolution. It's an art form to peel through the muscular layers so you can affect muscles that go that deep. Now, if you can affect the muscles that go that deep, then you can get to picture number one. Look at picture number one. Now look at picture number four. Now look at picture number one. Look at number two and number four. Look at one, look at two, look at four. If you can get deep enough, 12 to 4 to 2 to 1, if you can get deep enough through the connective tissue muck of your occiput and your first and your second cervical vertebra, you can begin to move those bones. The bones on your skull, the bones of your skull, the bones of the first and second cervical vertebra, all of them have motion. They have motion. All of them separate. If they are stuck, your brain does not drain. Done. End of show. If you can just get what I said in the last 30 minutes, you got it. Your job is to get motion there. I'll show you a guy that gets motion. Go to the bottom of the page. Hip hop dance moves. Look at the YouTube that I attached here to the bottom of this page. Hip hop dance moves. I want you to go to some hip hop dance moves, and I want you to manipulate it to 49 seconds into the show. Go to 49 seconds into the show. I'm going to turn his voice off. I want you to take your time, move the cursor along the line on the bottom, and go to 49. Okay, go to 49 seconds and watch what he's doing. We're at 49 seconds. Look at his neck. Look at his neck. This is a break dancer. This is a dancer. This is a kid that's learned to isolate. Now watch that neck. Is that your neck? Look at the back of his head in the mirror. Look at the mirror in the back of the head. Look at him moving. He's instructing. You don't need to heat the volume on. My volume is off. Now he's instructing a little bit. Now look at his head. It's going side to side. It's going back and forth and side to side. All right, I want you to do that one more time. Do it again. Go to 49 seconds in. 49 seconds in. Good. Now look at this guy do it. Watch his head. Watch his head once again, side to side, back and forth. Look at his reflection in the mirror behind him. Look at the way the head goes forward and backwards as it's going side to side. It's almost like it's going around in a circle. That's called isolation. All right, shut that off now and go back up to picture number one. Look at picture number one. Think of the occiput, the first and second cervical vertebra, in that young man's neck as he isolates. Notice what that was called. Hip-hop dance moves. Those are isolations. Dance is an isolation. Yoga is an isolation. Pilates is an isolation. Look at picture number. Go to this. Look at picture number 37. Go to picture 37. Now, you've seen that one before. That's Joseph Pilates. Picture number 37 is Joseph Pilates. That's an isolation. He's not doing anything different than that black guy is doing. The black kid is showing you an isolation move in dance. Pilates is a system of isolations. Yoga is a system of isolations. Tai Chi is a system of isolations. Qigong is a system of isolation. Oh, you do yoga. No, you don't. You think you do. You're going to forgive me if I sound a little harsh. But I don't know how else to tell people that you're getting ripped off in what you think you're doing that you're not doing. And this is important because if you're not getting the real thing, if you're not getting an authentic experience in your practices, you're not going to get the result. You're not going to see how you can really move the cerebral spinal fluid. You have to get to certain levels. I'm going to harp on this a little longer. I want you to go I want you to go here. I want you to go to picture number. Oh, darn. I don't have a picture of it. Oh, there it is. Picture 24. Oh, good. Go to picture 24. If you're that person in the middle, if you're that person at the end, if you're the person that's 2 inches forward or 3 inches forward, forget about an isolation. You're not going to get there. You can get there eventually. Getting to the point where you can isolate the occiput from C1 and C2 is an evolution. Oh, yeah, I get it. I'm going to go do that now. You're not capable. And you have to understand that. You have to understand that there's a layering to the point where you can do what that young man did at on the YouTube. There's a layering. There's a progression. And that's the art and the science of it. And if you're not working with somebody that understands how to evolve you through that progression, you're wasting your money because you're not going to get to the level you need to get to move that CSF through the glymphatics, to circulate it down and back up, to cleanse it, clean it, so that you can regenerate those brain cells with all those good nutrients you're paying good money for. You cannot separate the structural concern from the nutritional concern. You can't do it. And this is what I want to alert you to. There is a natural, unavoidable implication when you hear people talk about the good oils and the good foods and the bad foods and how you have to fix all these things. There's an implication. And the implication is that if you follow in accordance with nutritional wisdom, while we tear each other apart debating it, but nonetheless, as you struggle and as you evolve in accordance with good nutritional law, you cannot expect real result, definitive result, unless you bring in structural work. And structure doesn't mean to go through the motions, meaning it doesn't mean to go to your yoga class. It doesn't mean to go to your local chiropractor. It means, well, I'll sum it up like this. Get like that guy on the bottom of the page. Develop an ability within the musculoskeletal system sufficient to isolate specific body parts. Otherwise, you're not going to learn to pump the brain. He's pumping his brain. And as he pumps his brain, now go to picture 10. There it is. Picture 10, the ventricular system of the brain. That ventricular system, in what we call the choroid plexus, produces the cerebral spinal fluid. That cerebral spinal fluid goes all the way down the spine. So I want you to go to another picture. I want you to go to picture number. Did I do that again? Did I leave out another? There it is. I want you to go down to picture number. There it is. Go down to picture number 40. Go down to picture number 40. Blow that picture up and then blow it up a little more. And look at picture number 40, the lower right-hand side. The cerebral spinal fluid, lower left-hand side. The cerebral spinal fluid is produced by the choroid plexus of the ventricle. The ventricle is that picture I just showed you. That pumping balloon in the center of your skull. That dancer we just looked at is pumping way more successfully than you are. You're the guy in that anterior head carriage picture. You're the guy in the middle. You're the guy at the end. You're the guy that's got the hunch in the back. You're the woman that's got the hunch in the back. Your ventricular system's not pumping a lot. That pumping mechanism is variable. Thus, the production and flow of the cerebral spinal fluid is variable. Thus, the rate at which the glymphatic system drains is variable. Thus, the rate at which you can regenerate the neurons of your already demented brain is variable. There it is in a nutshell. You can do something about that. But you've got to hold yourself responsible to standards. Standards are not throw a few supplements down. Standards are not just to go to a stretch class. Standards are to balance the body's nutritional chemistry, utilizing all the facets of health. Cleaning the gallbladder is as important as your essential fatty acids. And within that nutritional spectrum, holding yourself to standards then also means to jump into structural medicine. Not to settle for the chiropractic adjustment, not to settle for the Yoga Works class, not to settle for bouncing up and down on a trampoline, but to take that standard to critical mass. And critical mass looks way more like that kid on the bottom of that page. And I say this again, I emphasize not to criticize what you're doing and not to criticize the well-intentioned people in chiropractic and osteopathic and nutrition, but to say there is a standard of excellence that these diseases demand. These diseases demand this level of excellence, or you're not going to get what you want. Going through the motions of a yoga class, lying down and getting patted by your massage therapist, downing a few supplements that you heard advertised on a radio show are not going to cut it. It's standards. Standard, get to what that kid is doing. You can do that. It doesn't matter if you're 50 or 60 or 70 or 80. You can get there. It may take you 2 to 3 years. Natural medicine does not offer quick fixes. And unless you can take off and devote yourself 7 days a week and don't have to work, plan on spending some time, real time. But you got to consider that by the time you're in dementia, you've spent 60 or 70 years getting sick. So it really isn't percentage-wise that much time. Now this picture, 40. The cerebral spinal fluid is produced in the choroid plexus. It flows through the ventricles and it circulates. You see those arrows? You see the arrows in picture 40? That circulation of the spinal fluid is going down your spinal cord, up your spinal cord, out through your venous system, more through the choroid plexus, and it's going through in between every single cell of the brain. That's the lymph of the brain, the cerebral spinal fluid. But the drainage ports from the brain are via the glymphatic system. There's a relationship between the cerebral spinal flow and what they're calling the glymphatic system. That's what that article earlier was about. Integrating all of this is where you get your results. So you got to get educated. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici here to get you educated. If you want more educated, more education, the website, straighttalk.cc, 250 shows. This is show 250. I'm going to make this show today a free show. It's one of my free shows. It's my celebration to you. This is show 250. We've been doing this show for 5 years. There is at least 10 books in the 250 shows. They've all been translated. They've all been manuscripted, and we'll make a series of vignettes eventually. These shows are essence shows. This is an essence teaching. It's not topical, nor is it for your low-information voter. If you're just looking for an herb or a quick fix, I'm not the guy. This is not the show. Don't waste your day. But if you're starting to see through the delusion and the myopia of superficially designed holistic programs or hardly designed allopathic programs, then this show's for you. It is the cutting edge, and today's topic's a classic example. If you're losing your keys a little more often than you want, something's going on up there, and there are standards you have to hold yourself to based on very smart inferences from science. Understand what science is and what science is not, and know the difference between the two. Because by the time the wrong part of science tells you the reality, you've been dead and buried 100 years. It works that way. The Indians knew about vitamin C hundreds and hundreds of years ago. From the time vitamin C was discovered in pine needles up in Canada in the 1600s. It took England 150 years to put it in mainstream medicine. The cure for scurvy didn't come fast. There's no cure come down the pipe, especially naturalistic cures that don't take hundreds of years to get into the mainstream and standard of science. And I'll tell you, my bet is that will get worse. I have never seen disease rates at the level I'm experiencing them today. Never. I have never seen it. It is getting worse. We are being lied to. And all you got to do is get deep on it. Look, if you're about my age, 50s, when you grew up, did we ever really, come on, let's admit it, care one way or the other about politics? Have you noticed the last 10 years, your attention's a little bit more focused on our political system, our educational system, our journalistic system? There are things on the wall right now. And politics aside, medicine is one of them. Our medicine is failing us. And our holistic model is failing us. I'm not just talking about the allopaths. And it doesn't have to. It's you, the consumer, though. You have to bring it to your chiropractors and your acupuncturists and your nutritionists and your yogics and your Pilates instructors. You have to bring it to them because they'll give it back to you the way you wanted it. They know some of this stuff. They're afraid you're not interested. They're afraid you don't want to break dance like the guy on YouTube. They're afraid you just want the little pat on the back and that's your massage, or crack in the back and that's your adjustment. They're afraid you don't want to comply more deeply. The purpose of this show is to tell you, as a clinician, that if we don't reach more deeply into the divine packet of holistic medicine, we're not going to fend off the future of disease. And we're not going to inherit a future of well-being. There's too many integers here. So you got to raise the standard. So there's the cerebral spinal fluid. Now, that position of the head on the neck. Look at picture 24. When you reverse it from the guy under 42 pounds, that's you at 60 or 70, and you reverse it back all the way, what you do is you free up, now look at picture 19, you free up the vagus nerve. Anterior head carriage kills the vagus nerve. That vagus nerve is supplying all the repair energy, all the repair signals of the autonomic nervous system that allow you to rebuild not just your brain, but all your organs, hinge on reversing the anterior head carriage, reversing the clench. You're not going to rebuild the brain unless you reposition the brain. And if you don't reposition the brain, well, then another system, it's called the dural system, D-U-R-A-L. Look at picture 7. That's the skin of the brain. Look at picture number 8. Look at picture number 8. You see in that blue, that sheath there, the picture 8, the top picture in the 7 o'clock position, there's a whole sheath of connective tissue there called the tentorium cerebelli. That tissue, the dural tissue around your brain. Look at picture 6, the dural tissue around your spinal cord. Look at picture 9, the dural tissue in between the hemispheres of the brain. Those tissues control the ventricular system. The ventricular system, meaning picture 10, controls the flow of cerebral spinal fluid. The flow of cerebral spinal fluid controls the glymphatic system. The rate at which all those systems, fascial, dural, ventricular, cerebral spinal, the rate at which those systems work determine how fast you can clear the garbage that your brain's producing and how fast you can clear the web of fibrin or scarring in between your neurons. So that kid at the bottom there, he's doing that very effectively. Are you? And that's the point. Now look at this picture on the bottom. Picture 39. The autonomic nervous system and cerebral spinal fluid production and intracranial pressure. Look at that. I didn't put this one on the site. The autonomic nervous system and the control of the cerebral spinal fluid production. Can you ever, will you ever expect to get around the autonomic nerves? You cannot get around the autonomic nerve. You cannot save the brain until you shift yourself neurologically. Go onto YouTube, look at and get a film, the National Geographic, Stress, Portrait of a Silent Killer. I've mentioned this in past shows, Stress, Portrait of a Silent Killer. It teaches you, in the highest annals of science, how the autonomic nerves control the degeneration or regeneration of the brain. It's also hooked into the flow of the cerebral spinal fluid. Put it together. Cerebral spinal fluid, dural system, anterior head carriage, isolating different parts of the spine, the drainage of the brain, the infusion of it with the proper nutrients. Put it all together, and at 70 and 80 and 90, boogie like that kid at the bottom of the page, and watch what happens to your brain. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you need help getting through this labyrinth that we call the healing journey, 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.